And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another episode of the More Phenomenal Hockey Show. It is I, Mike, and joining me this week, he is the beat reporter and creator of Sharks Hockey Digest, and he is the San Jose Sharks correspondent for NHL.com, Mr. Max Miller. Max, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Yeah, it's a good time to be talking because, you know, we're going to be talking about the Sharks. We're going to be talking about, obviously, Ovechkin hitting 900, which I was at that. I sent you the picture last night of him scoring the goal, which was a crazy picture to take on that one. I'll put that up on the show in a moment. But real quick, before we get into it, the More Phenomenal Hockey Show is brought to you by Cool Hockey. You like the jerseys you see me wearing on the show? Head over to the official NHL jersey retailer for the show and TXHT Hockey. Use our exclusive link of coolhockey.com/TXHT. Again, that is coolhockey.com/TXHT. And order your NHL jersey today. That's the first time I've actually stumbled doing the promo doing that. So with that, you know, we're gonna hop right into it, talking about the San Jose Sharks right off the bat. Sharks are, you know, I'm gonna say this in a very interesting way. The Sharks, while they are second to last in the Pacific Division, they aren't doing that bad. You know, they picked up a big overtime win over the Colorado Avalanche over this past weekend. They did a big victory last night. I'm blanking against who they played against because I was coming home from the Caps game. Who did they play?
Seattle. I was there. I got back from Seattle today.
The Kraken and the Kraken are like right now a playoff team. So those are like two playoff teams as of right now that the San Jose Sharks have been able to defeat. What have you been able to gauge so far this season with this young Sharks team, this young season so far?
Yeah, don't forget the Devils too. I mean, they beat the Devils 5-2 right before they beat the Avalanche, right? They beat the Devils, they beat the Avs, and then they lose to Detroit in overtime, and then they go out and beat Seattle. So they're beating good teams, they're skating with good teams. Like, the start of the year was the start of the year. Coach Warsawski clearly made changes to like the forecheck with a 2-on-2, going to a 2-on-2 from a 1-2-2. Their breakouts are different. Kind of hard, but they're using their center more instead of going wing to center. They're going center to wing a lot, from what I noticed. And I just think overall connectivity, that was a big thing. I mean, they're starting to trust each other. They finally got some bounces to go their way. The top six is pretty set, even with William Eklund out right now. I mean, you're finding chemistry up and down the lineup at forwards. People are falling into roles. People are playing how they're supposed to play, and they're not overdoing anything. Guys are starting to buy in. And now with the success coming in bunches, it's just going to motivate the team to be even better for a longer amount of time because this team loves to win and desperately hates to lose.
And it's actually funny that you say that. You know, you mentioned the Devils, the Avalanche, the Kraken. You know, as I mentioned, those are like playoff perennial teams. And the saying always goes, you know, when you're like one of these top teams, you always have it's the teams that are like the best teams. It's always like a 50-50. When it's the teams like that at the bottom, like a San Jose Sharks, or in this case also the Calgary Flames or the St. Louis Blues. Those are the teams you need to beat, but it's always the funny part where it's like you're beating your division rivals, but you're losing to the teams that you should be beating. Like, you know, and it's weird because it's like, you know, the Devils, they look at the Sharks and it's like, oh, this is a team that we can beat, and then they lose. Colorado, this is a team we're gonna beat, they lose. And it's very interesting how that dynamic works sometimes.
And the big thing for me, like last night especially, you know, Seattle hadn't lost at home in regulation yet this season until last night. When you look at the Sharks, like, nobody's expecting them to be a playoff team this year. Granted, they're 5-6-3 after starting, what, 0-4-2. I mean, 4-1-1 in the last six. I mean, you're picking up points. You know, that's 9 points in out of 12. That's a pretty good clip.
And
But the
they're
big
only
thing,
4 points out behind Anaheim and Vegas right now in the Pacific Division.
right? And they tied Seattle in points. Sorry, they cut Seattle's points in half down by three. I think is what it is. So down to 3 points. And I look at, you know, let's say this team was a perennial playoff team. Let's say the roles were reversed. Let's say the Sharks are a step ahead next year. What's the key games early in the season that you need to win? You need to beat your division in regulation any month at any point in the season. So if the Sharks somehow get into playoff contention, which I won't rule it out yet, I mean, they're playing well enough to get there. Will it last? Who knows? this team will go as far as Macklin Celebrini goes right now. But that's a regulation win against a Pacific Division opponent. That's significant. I mean, yeah, the first two games you probably should have won. You've picked up points against better teams in the Pacific Division in Vegas and Anaheim. So they're almost always picking up points against division teams and or beating them in regulation. They haven't had too many to start the year so far because they had the big Eastern swing. But when you look at how a young team that's learning to win, the games that you want them to start to win most and first, in my opinion, are the regulation wins against your division in October and November.
And as you have seen, the Capitals have actually they're okay, but they've struggled. And some of those games have been like we lost to the Islanders recently. That's a divisional one that we should have won. We're playing Pittsburgh tonight. That's a must win for the Capitals, but Pittsburgh is hot right now.
They're
Like,
currently
who
a good
saw
team.
that coming? But that also shows you, and it was said, I believe, a week or two ago, and I think it might have been Pierre LeBrun, where he was going on about how there's a lot more parity to
Yeah.
this season compared to the other seasons. Like, when you know a team is bad, like, you know what teams are bad by the time we get to American Thanksgiving, and they're not going to be in the playoffs. And so we would always see, like, a Buffalo, Chicago, San Jose, like, out of the playoff picture right away. But, like, even now, it's like we can't even say that about Chicago. We can't say that about San Jose. We could say it about St. Louis and Calgary probably right now.
Right now, yeah.
And maybe the Rangers, which is one of the more hilarious stories because they can't win at home
Or score.
or score. I think they've only scored, like, what?
They've scored six goals. Five of them came against the Sharks and one against the Wild. That's it.
Yeah. So the Sharks is the outlier.
Yeah, and they still lost.
So
So,
it's kind
but
of
I mean,
weird.
look, the Rangers, I wouldn't put into that category. They're 500. They win three in a row, four in a row here, and we saw that quieted noise before for them just recently. Obviously, they lost, shutout again on home ice, whatever it was. But
No, it was
I
another
wouldn't,
shutout.
right, another shutout. I wouldn't put them into that category just because they're 6-1-1 on the road, right? Like I wouldn't throw them into they're out of it race yet, especially with what you're saying, the parity around the league. The biggest thing for me is when I look at the standings from the Sharks' perspective, when's the last time you saw 0.4 for the Sharks in any capacity?
Yeah,
Like,
that's
even
true.
last year, they started off rough, but they started off with like 9-game losing streak, and then they won 3 of 5. You're still not seeing a four. You're not seeing a 40% win percentage. I mean, if they win one more game, technically NHL 500, obviously it would be 6-6-3. It's not really 500. I mean, it's 6 wins, 9 losses, but you've picked up 3 loser points. That's pretty darn good. And I don't remember the last time the Sharks had a record like that other than 0-0-0.
Yeah, so and it's interesting when you look at it because, like, you as you mentioned, Calgary's at 0.33 right now and San Jose's at 0.464.
Right.
And so, like, they're like Calgary's the weird one. Let's just be honest. Like, them and St. Louis were the two teams we were like, St. Louis probably a little bit better than Calgary, but, like,
St. Louis,
nobody
I agree
saw
with you
this
on.
coming.
I will say this on a different podcast. I was asked who's going to finish eighth in the Pacific. The co-host said Seattle, and I said Calgary. So I don't want to say I'm right,
But as of right, but
but
as of
as of now, I'm
November
right.
6th, as of November 6th, you were right.
As of right now, I'm right. I just didn't like the makeup, their lackluster offseason. Nazem Kadri, I think, is going to get traded and wants to get traded. Goaltending is great
It,
there, and I
it's
love
it's
Devin
interesting
Tooley.
you mentioned that because TSN's Insider Trading just came out right before we started recording, and Nazem Kadri was brought up last time when they talked about him. They said that they wanted to get to game 1,000 for Kadri. And it sounds like Kadri loves it in Calgary. He doesn't want to get traded and he wants to win in Calgary. But unfortunately, if they want to win in Calgary, he might have to be that guy that gets traded to really bring in the assets because, I mean, and Jonathan Huberdeau might be the only other guy that they could potentially trade to get big assets right now. It's Kadri and Huberdeau. But the problem is that if you trade either of those guys or both of those guys, you're literally starting from ground zero again.
I think they might have to, but that's beside the point.
And they have enough young guys coming in. That's the thing. Like, they need those veterans to be with those young guys.
And if you add a Verhoeve or a McKenna, there you go. That's the star you need.
So, but yeah, when you look at the Sharks right now, obviously you're excited because you're seeing them in a way that they haven't been in a while.
Yes.
What are certain things that you hope that they keep going right now? Like they keep pushing at.
I think the goaltending right now has finally found its groove. Askarov had a real rough start to the year, and he's settled in nicely now. I mean, he's 23. He's played under 30 games of the NHL. He's made his first opening night roster. Give the kid a break. He's 23. It's his first full season, and Nedeljkovic had a terrific preseason. Give them a break. That's the biggest thing that I want to see be consistent the entire year. You're going to have clunkers as a goalie. Everybody is, just like you're going to have bad games as a player.
I mean, look at
Don't harp
Binnington and
on
Hofer last night.
Binnington and Hall for the whole season. But that's beside the point. The biggest thing for me is I want them to remain competitive in most games. There's going to be a blowout either way. Sometimes they're going to have it like last night. Sometimes they're not going to play well. But, like Carolina. But when you look at this team and the way the roster is constructed, after Celebrini in that top six, the depth gets a little thin, but that defense has really solidified itself. The Timothy Liljegren, Dmitry Orlov combo has really become a nice top pair or shutdown defenseman pair. And you can really lean on these guys a lot, especially because they've got a year under their belt in Celebrini and Smith with Orlov and Liljegren, and really bring up those young guys that you want to become depth pieces, the Colin Graffs, the Adam Gaudette, who I love the fit here, the Ethan Cardwell, who's come up and been well. The thing I want to see is, can they stay competitive in games? And if they do go on a 2 to 3 game losing streak, how quickly can they get out of that snowball? Right? You don't want to see them, they're playing well right now and it's going well, and they got out of a snowball after 6 games. Can they limit those losing streaks to 3 to 4 and throw in some overtime games rather than 4 straight regulation losses after 2 overtime losses?
Kind of like what we saw with Buffalo, where they literally did 4 straight overtime games where they lost, I think, 3 consecutive 4-3 overtime games and then beat the Capitals in the shootout 4-3. So it's like you, in a way, you're still kind of getting those, points in a way, even if you lose in overtime and stuff like
Right,
that.
that loser point, and just being competitive in those games. You don't want to get by. Like, I look at that Anaheim game, the second game of the year. They lost 7-6. They didn't play well at all. They ran into a tough goal to like Askarov didn't have a good game. The Ducks goal, I don't remember who it was. I think it was Dostal, had a tough game. Like, that's gonna happen, and they almost won that game. They almost stole that game when they really should not have been anywhere close to it and still lost it. So I want to see games when they're losing, like the Vegas game, where they probably should have won that off a fluky bounce, though. And that's why they should end in a bad decision by Nedeljkovic. But like, I
Yeah,
want to.
I remember watching that one with Nedeljkovic, and I'm like, "What are you doing, bro?" And
The story writing is up on as I am on deadline.
it was 2-1 game, if
But
I
the first
remember.
one, I understand, yeah, he could be a little bit more aggressive, but that bounce is weird and you can't predict that. It could have easily bounced right into his chest. So that one, I don't blame us too much. He did say he was a little bit in between the overtime winner. No, you got to chip that off the boards. Get that the heck out.
That I remember watching that. I was like, "What are you doing? That's so
I think there was a
random and
collective,
weird."
oh no, when Eichel scored the game tying goal, and then an oh God when Nedeljkovic made the play. And then it's funny because Askarov had that stumble against Colorado and he made the diving poke check to save it. And we asked Orsovsky, and he goes, oh no, not again. Like, that's what's running through his head. It's just been rough going when they played the puck. It's been better lately, but it's been rough go lately with that.
The comparable is last season with the Capitals. You had the one where Charlie Lindgren, he's trying to pass the puck behind the net for the defenseman. He accidentally shoots it into the goal.
Eklund, William Eklund
And
scored a goal like that against Carolina last year.
then
Shot it, fell over, and the puck went in.
but like Lindgren just shot it into his em into the empty
Oh.
net by accident. And then I
Well.
think there was one where Logan Thompson, he threw a pass and the went right to the other team and they just scored right off the bat. So it's
The
like,
rookie faceoff, the Ducks goaltender, I forget his name, did a Charlie Lindgren where he, or Logan Thompson, whoever it was, who put it into his own net. We went,
it
oh,
was
no.
Lindgren. Yeah, it was.
Lindgren, yeah, Lindgren, you saw that in the rookie faceoff. So it's a tough watching person. Now, granted, that was a rookie exhibition game, but
So
still.
I'll throw this out there. So back in high school, I played ice hockey for 12 years, and I did goalie in 6th grade, but I was on a really good team, so I didn't matter how bad I was. But when I was in high school, I went back to being a goalie again, and I'm like trying to learn like with my actual own pads, not like the loaner that the rink had. And I remember I went out and I covered the puck with my glove hand out by the faceoff circle, and they told me to move it, so I went to push it with my hand like this, hoping to pass it to a teammate, and it hooked right into the net. And
That's brutal.
luckily that was a practice,
Oh
but
no.
that was still embarrassing. It's like
Yeah.
you just take it with your glove hand, you try to wing it
Yeah.
to a player, and it just curves into the net. It's like, good thing
Oops.
this was a, this was good thing this was a practice and a scrimmage,
Yeah,
not an actual game, because then my teammates probably would have killed me at that point. But
probably.
so I understand that the mishaps in goal. But you mentioned Macklin Celebrini. We got to talk about him. He's currently tied, as of recording, he is currently tied with Connor McDavid with the lead in
Who?
points. Connor McDavid.
I don't know those two players.
Yeah. So what do you think about Celebrini coming in? This is sophomore year for him, I believe. Yeah, that's right, because Bedard has one more year on him. So you have Celebrini coming in. He's playing on fire.
Yeah.
He's being considered for Team Canada for the Olympics. There's literally the debate of who would you bring, Celebrini or Connor Bedard?
Not close.
And like right, and but Bedard has a pretty good argument because he has been having a much more solid start to his season compared to the past
I'm gonna
season.
stop you right there. Bedard's having a what start to his season?
A
A
more,
solid start.
yeah, a more solid start.
What kind of start has Celebrini had?
Fire.
Unbelievable.
Straight fire.
And then you look at the play style, Bedard's gonna be a terrific player. Celebrini's work ethic across every part of the game is unmatched. You don't hear anybody saying Connor Bedard is a mini Crosby. And everybody's saying Celebrini is a mini Crosby, but they're like pausing when they say mini because it's not mini. He just is. He's playing exactly the same way with a little bit more offensive upside. He drives play. The team looks to him for everything. He doesn't feel pressure in any way. He just has fun playing the game of hockey. You know, I asked John Klingberg last night after the game, I was like, you know, you've watched him and like, what does he mean? And he's like, you know, he's the engine, but the kid also has fun because he's a kid. And that's such a good thing to have, especially when you have his friend, excuse me, in Will Smith right next to him, and they're buddy buddy. It's just Macklin Celebrini has been otherworldly in so many areas. He digs in on faceoffs, he back checks, he stick checks, he works hard, and he's so smart in the offensive zone. He's got such a great shot and he's using it. But he's doing more than just scoring points. And Bedard is working defensively. It's not even nearly as close as to effective as Celebrini. And Celebrini still has a lot of ways to go in it. But the step he took from last year to this year defensively, not just work rate, but actual effectiveness, is second to none. And probably by the Olympic break, he will be con like, I don't know if he'll get PK time this year. They have good PK forwards this year, but he could do it in a heartbeat and he would do it well.
How much of an impact would you say Tyler Toffoli has had on Macklin Celebrini?
I would loop Will Smith into that too a lot. I mean, he's Uncle Toffoli basically for this entire group. I mean, the guys see him as a veteran.
I mean, you have the sleepover story, and
That's the whole thing.
now it's turned into a bobblehead set.
And now they're the line, right? It's the sleepover line. And that line has meshed so well. They all just get along. Obviously, Toffoli has Michael Mesa living with him, but they all hang out together. They go, you know, work out. They see that. It's just a perfect bond of an older veteran who's still playing very well. And two young kids who are looking for the future. And it just is a good match. Their personalities match well. Their vibes match well. Toffoli knows what it's like to go through that. And he's allowing them to have fun while still keeping them in line. And just the professionalism that both Smith and Celebrini have makes that job incredibly easy for Toffoli just to play his game and enjoy and make sure everybody's in the fight. And it's not just worrying about Celebrini and Smith. And if they're doing okay, he can do that with any young player on the team.
Yeah, and not only that, but Toffoli being with Celebrini and Smith, you know, you have somebody who's a little bit more of the grit, who can, so if somebody tries to mess with them, he can step up a little bit too to protect them
Yeah,
on
but I
the
also
ice.
think when Celebrini gets messed with, he's just going to take care of himself, i.e., Moritz Seider, where he also drew a power play for his team.
Well, I mean, you look at it like, I mean, you mentioned Sidney Crosby. I mean, we've always seen the big tough guys who've been in the lineup. They'll put them on the line with Crosby on purpose. They probably don't deserve to be on that line with Crosby, but they'll put them on the line with Crosby because you want to protect your star player,
Right.
which has always been the understandable thing. Oh, Alex Ovechkin never needed it because literally his like first game, he just like freight trained a guy, and we all went, yeah, I think this
And he'll be
guy's
all right.
got, yeah, he'll be all right. Russian machine never break, but you know, but yeah, I mean, but I like the fact that Toffoli, and he chose, if I remember right, he chose to sign with the Sharks.
He signed a 4-year deal with the
Yeah,
Sharks.
he
Yeah.
chose to go there. Whereas, like, one can say with Barclay Goodrow, he didn't want to go there. It was kind of a forced thing where, the Rangers were going to get rid of him,
Yeah.
but and this was how they did it. But one could say Goodrow is obviously a good veteran to have in that locker room for the
Yeah.
Sharks as well. And then obviously you have, I've always been critical of this guy because I'm not a big fan of him as a player because he's really there for the fighting, but he is, I know for a fact he's a great locker room guy, and that's Ryan Reeves. Which I'm surprised he has 2 goals this season. I literally have the stats up in front of me, and I'm like, wait, Ryan Reeves has 2 goals this season? What world am I living in right now?
Yeah, Revo's been really good for this group. I mean, he's right next to Max Celebrini. Told me that he's trying to bring him out of his shell, and I think it's working. Not to say he wasn't out of his shell before, but just there's an essence about him on the. I mean, I'm sitting up in the press box, and penalty ends for the Sharks, and the first thing I hear, even. It's Reeves from the bench. I can hear him all the way up top on the roof. It's interesting to hear the way Warsawski talks about him too. He calls him like a fifth coach. Like, yeah, Reeves may not be the best skater anymore, and he's more of a tough guy. But he's smart and he's like calling out guys for defensive mistakes. And he'll go over like on an iPad, hey, you should be there. He's saying push up. And it's like the things he's saying are exactly what you want from the coach, but he's doing it as a player, but he's doing it and he's having fun. I mean, there was a drill today, right? Obviously, Reeves is injured right now and is coming back from a lower body injury. But he was back on the ice today. It was an optional skate, and they're playing like some sort of game. And he stopped Celebrini, and you just hear, "Not today, not today, you child," or something like that. It was just they're having fun. And Reeves is a really good guy to have around the room, and obviously he's going to protect the kids. And will he play in the power play and do that stuff? No, he's not going to play more than 7 to 8 minutes a game. But when he's playing, it's effective. It's not at the point where it's hurting the team. At the start, it maybe was a little bit, but you could coincide that everybody on the team was struggling. But Reeves has really been a nice addition to this team, which has been a little surprising to me as well.
Well, I mean, let's also be honest. When Reeves was with the Rangers and even a little bit with the Maple Leafs, he was always kind of a liability for those teams.
It was funny.
You know,
He told us
but
before the year, he said he's never had a good season on the East Coast. I don't know why.
some guy, it's interesting. I'll use Darcy Kemper as an example.
I have one for you as well.
Darcy Kemper has always been more successful, like with the LA Kings, with the Coyotes. He's always Colorado because he obviously won the cup with them. Although was that more the defense bailing him out more than anything on that one? But he's always had better numbers on the West Coast than he did with like the 2 seasons with the Washington Capitals.
And I'll give you the
And
vice versa. And as a former cap of Carl Hagelin, Carl Hagelin never had a good season on the West Coast.
yeah.
He was Anaheim from the Rangers, not good. Went to wherever, I think it was Pittsburgh next, great. LA, not good. Washington, great.
I would say I wouldn't say he was great. I think he
Better
was I
though. He
think
was
he was
effective.
I think oh he was definitely better than when he was in LA, but
Yeah.
he was good.
But he was never good on the West Coast. Anaheim, he was terrible. Found his game in Pittsburgh. It was funny.
But that sometimes just that's how it works, for some guys. It's a very weird dynamic when it comes to that. For you, what players, in your opinion, while things are still turning things around, you've seen a lot of good now. What guys do you think kind of still need to step it up a little bit on the Sharks?
For me, John Klingberg has been better a little bit. He's unsure of his breakouts right now. He just doesn't seem to be moving his feet enough on the breakouts, and he's holding onto the puck too long. And you could say the same thing about Nick Leddy. I've not been a huge fan of Nick Leddy's play this year. Still time to turn around, but I really like the way the defense is playing now. I don't mind John Klingberg in there, and as a PP1, he scored last night on the power play. That's fine too. Colin Graf has had some up and down things. I've liked him in moments, but not consistently enough. I really like Ty Dellandrea's game so far this year. He's not somebody who needs to step up, but he was someone who needed to have a good season this year, in my mind, right? He's shown that. He was a guy, if you're coming into this year, after the year he had last year, it was really Ty Dellandrea, what are you doing? And this year he stepped up. He's found a bottom six role. He's winning a lot of faceoffs, and he's a guy, probably the poster child of the Sharks right now for, hey, you needed to have a big offseason and come in and play well. And it's done that. And that's probably been Ty Dellandrea for me.
Yeah. So with that, we're actually going to start reminiscing about some stuff. But before
All
we
right.
do, the More Phenomenal Hockey Show is also brought to you by Oats Overnight. When we're on the go but still need breakfast, Oats Overnight is the healthy on-the-go breakfast choice for the show and TXHD Hockey. Use our exclusive link in the description on both TXHDHockey.com and in the YouTube show description to try Oats Overnight today. And I here's some irony for you, Max. Do you know what oats overnight flavors I've had these last 2 days?
What?
Blueberry cobbler and glazed blueberry donut. And who did the Capitals play last night?
The blues?
Yeah, how weird is that? But they're both delicious flavors anyways. So I was thinking about that when I was at work today, when I was like, oh,
Oh boy.
this is a great this is a great one. But I want to reminisce about some things because obviously the Sharks are in their 30th anniversary. Wait, no,
35th, yeah.
35th, 35th. Sorry. The Colorado Avalanche are in their 30th season. The Sharks are 35th. And it's funny because I'm wearing what is considered the Heritage 1.0 jersey, which came out originally for the 20th anniversary. They are now wearing the Heritage 2.0, which is the jersey that was debuted in 1997 as an alternate. Then the very following season became the what was at the time the road jersey, but they did create a white version to be the home jersey. What are your thoughts on the Sharks bringing back the Heritage 2.0 jersey to honor the 35th anniversary of the franchise?
Best logo in the NHL.
Yeah, it's this version too.
Hands down, it is the best logo in the NHL. There's no questions around it. I love that color teal. Guys on the team seem to really like this new black, the Cali Finn jersey. I think the Heritage is better than it, but I think there's no questions being asked that that is the best logo. Will Smith agrees with me as well that that logo is the best logo. I
It's
think they
like the
should go back
Capitals
to
with the
it.
Screaming
Smith
Eagle,
tells me what
so.
he thinks, but I won't say what he said to me about the logo, but I just know he really liked it. But I think they should bring it back full time. But I do think you also need to understand that the new identity of the team, you should not, the Sharks for such a long time were so good and were so bad because they hung on to the past for a lot. I think it's also smart to rebrand and things like that. But I do think it is nice to honor the history, especially since they're only having four alumni nights this year. And those are the four games that they're going to have it. And they only had it once already. So.
Yeah. And one of the things I am slightly disappointed about with the bringing back of this jersey is the lack of silver. Because when the jersey originally came out, where it is gray now, it was actually silver fabric. And
Yeah, that just
that
means
made the
production
jersey pop.
thing, and you don't
But
want to do too much with it. There's a whole bunch of stuff that could
yeah.
go into that, but I agree a little bit.
But the one thing I will admit is that when they did Reverse Retro 1.0, they brought back that exact jersey, did the color swap, and they went with the gray instead. And so when I saw them do that, or when I thought back to when they did that, I went, okay, well, that makes sense why they're going to go with that type of gray
Right.
rather than go with the silver fabric
You
like
have
they
to
did
honor it,
originally.
not copy it,
Yeah.
maybe. So,
Well, I mean, look at the Minnesota Wild for their 25th. They just straight up took their inaugural white jersey and just replaced the beige with gold.
little
And that
bit
was
different, though.
it.
You honor it.
So, but yeah, but I also wanted to, what was your very first Sharks game that you can remember?
Oh boy. I've been to a lot of games. A lot of games.
That's like me with the Capitals. I've been to a lot of games.
I was born and raised in California. My dad grew up in New York and was a New York Rangers fan, so I have a lot of New York Rangers influence on me. But we were season ticket holders for a long time. My path to becoming a reporter is very interesting. Obviously, as a kid, my dad was a season ticket holder. We didn't go to every game. We had like a 10 pack, whatever it is. And then we did like a half season plan. And so I was going to a bunch of games. Then I started. I went to school in North Carolina for a year and came home after a year. And then I started working for the ice team, so the shoveling. So I worked a lot of games, including every game except for the last one of the season in the COVID year when there were no fans allowed. So I've been to a lot of games. There are a lot of memories. And then I stopped doing that to become a reporter. It's been all over the place. So when I'm okay, I don't know. I don't quite remember my first Sharks game, just because they kind of blur together and I was really young. But one of my favorite memories is my grandfather was in from New York and it was the Sharks versus the Canucks. I don't remember what year, but I think they swept them or won in five games or something. They won the series at home and the crowd was just giving it to Corey Schneider. And I was a, 13-year-old kid, 12-year-old kid yelling, "He's a bum!" when everybody else was in the upper
That's a very New
bowl
York thing to do right there.
in the 25th roll, in the 25th row. To do it with my grandfather too was a ton of fun. Obviously, the 2019 game was a lot of fun. You can find me jumping up and down, going nuts behind the goal that Barclay Goodrow scored is an ICE team member, which I was not supposed to work that game, but I was called in because someone called out sick. And I said, yeah, I guess I could be there for game seven. Duh.
Who wouldn't want to be there for a game seven?
Exactly. And I said, yeah, I think I could be there. Oh my God, I'm going. So there's some other, obviously, I was at Hurdle's four goal game. That's a big memory of mine. That's a good one. There's so many games. When Thornton got the hat trick against Boston, they unfortunately lost that game. That was a big one as well. Stanley Cup final playoff game against the Penguins in 2016 was game four. Unfortunately, it wasn't at game three to see Donskoy's winner. Those are just some of the ones that like immediately pop out into my brain. One cool thing that I have in my closet back at my parents' house, the year they were reverse swept, so 2014. The Sharks still had the, physical tickets and they were really prettily designed. And the Sharks, when you were a season ticket holder, would send you all of your tickets for every round. So we used one of them. I still have the rest that say round two, round three, Stanley Cup final. And it's a forever reminder that they were reverse swept that year. And I think it's a cool thing to have tickets that never existed physically. It just stinks that it was the reverse year, the reverse sweep year.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to take you back.
Oh boy.
So I'm 39 years old. I'm ancient probably compared to you.
Not too bad.
Yeah. But so one of the things my dad did was he would take me to see the teams during their inaugural years.
That's
So I
fun.
got to see the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim, the Florida Panthers, Tampa Bay Lightning, Ottawa Senators, San Jose Sharks. So I got to see a lot of these teams in their inaugural years, and then I also got to see the original Winnipeg Jets, the original, obviously the Hartford Whalers, and a preseason game of the Rangers, so my dad could have me see Wayne Gretzky and Mark Messier play together. Because that ended up being like the last year that they got to play together was I
Wow.
think was Gretzky's first year at the Rangers. So for the Sharks, my first game was obviously in the very early 1990s.
Oh boy.
And I think it actually might, this game might have been not the inaugural year. It might have been a later year because I think the goalie was Arturs Irbe for the Sharks. But I was still like not even 10 years old. I was,
Right.
because I was born in 86. It was probably like 92, 93, maybe 94-ish. So I'm like 6, 7, 8 years old, somewhere in that range. And it ended up being an afternoon game.
Those are fun.
So the Sharks were came to this was at the old Caps Center Landover, and so it would be the Caps and the Sharks, and then my dad took me. We went into Baltimore to go see the Baltimore Skipjacks of the AHL at the time. I think they might have been playing the Hershey Bears or the Portland Pirates or whoever. That part I don't remember because we didn't stay that game very long because I was very tired. So, but the interesting thing was is that like go to the Sharks game. The next morning when I woke up, not this exact jersey, but the Sharks jersey, the road jersey, was sitting on a hanger on my bedroom door. Because back then in the day, God, I sound older when I say that line. But back then in the day, as I try to fix my glasses, what they did at the arenas was they actually sold both teams' merchandise.
I remember some teams still do that very slightly in other sports, but
Yeah,
yeah, I remember days like
but back in the day, like you could walk the old Cap Center,
no.
and there would also be vendors selling hockey cards, just like singles or
Like
packs
too
or whatever.
many games.
Like it would just be regular people who would just sell hockey cards, but you would go to the merch booth and they would have like the Sharks jerseys, pucks, pennants, and all that other stuff,
Yeah, just the basics,
and then
you
the
know.
Capital stuff. So like I have a massive puck collection because at the time I saw my dad pick up the puck for me, but I never saw him get the jersey. And so like the next morning, and the only other team he did that for was actually the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim.
Interesting.
So
Cool.
that's my reminiscing of back in the early 90s,
Yeah.
seeing the Sharks and getting a jersey as a kid, Actually, I think there's a yearbook photo of me in that Sharks jersey. Because I've made it a point where it's like, even to this day, like when I renew my driver's license, I'm always wearing it like a Caps jersey or something.
That's funny.
So
That's very
gotta
funny.
keep the gimmick going. Gotta
That's
keep,
very funny.
but no, but like when they came out with the Heritage 2.0s and having you on, it's like, I had to bring that up because it's like,
Yeah, that's awesome. That's
it's
real
an
cool story.
anniversary thing. It's a great opportunity to reminisce about, the history of just the not just the game, but of the franchises of in the
Yeah.
game too. So with that, we're gonna, get ready to wrap, but we got to obviously talk about one more thing,
Yeah.
and that is Alex Ovechkin. I mean,
Who?
yes, Alex Ovechkin last night scored goal number 900. Took 13 games to do it, but
I want to
he
say I saw it. I was in my hotel room. I was watching the game. I turned it off. And 2 minutes later, I'm getting my shoes on. I get a notification. Alex Ovechkin scores 900th goal. I was like, are you kidding me? So I just
Oh,
missed watching it live.
so it's interesting you say that. Remember the goal against Arizona his rookie year?
Yep.
Same deal for me. I was working for GameStop at the time.
Oh, boy. Hope you had stock options.
No, I tried. But I was working at GameStop at the time. And we had a TV and we had the antenna. And we were able to get the channel that the Caps game was on.
Oh, boy.
And so I'm watching the game, and it's like the Caps are blowing out the Coyotes. I think it was like 4-1 at that point or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I go like, you know what? I'm not gonna, if it was closer game, I was gonna stay and just watch the game because it was a Sunday, so that's the day you close early.
Right.
So I was like, oh, I'll just stay and watch. But they're blowing him out, so I was like, ah, nah, screw it, I'll go home. I walk home, and the moment I get in the house, my dad goes, "Hey, did you see what Ovechkin did?" And I go,
Oh, boy.
"No. No, I didn't." And it's like, why? What happened? It's like, oh, he fell on his back and still managed to score. I was like, what? And then it's like, you just turn on SportsCenter or whatever to see the highlights. And it's like right there. It's like, oh, that's pretty
That's what I
cool.
missed.
That's what
Great.
I missed. Great.
His
And
greatest goal ever.
but also, I was at the game against Chicago last season because I'm actually a full season ticket holder, so I have all the games.
Nice.
And so I was at the game when he tied Gretzky.
Okay.
But the problem is that weekend was a convention called AwesomeCon, which I do press at that convention, and I also do a panel at the convention for like pro wrestling. And which, by the way, I love the Sharks promotion for WWE with the little
Yeah.
chair.
The phone holder. Yeah.
I want one.
I
But
didn't even get one.
yeah, I want one. It's awesome. But the thing is, though, is like I'm walking the floor, and actually, one of the guests at the convention at AwesomeCon is the Washington Capitals PA announcer,
Oh, that's great.
because he's also a voice actor. He does like voices in games like Fallout and Elder Scrolls and stuff like that. So he's there because of that reason. And I'm walking the floor on the Sunday, and then all of a sudden, my phone just blows up while I'm waiting to meet Nick Frost and Simon Pegg.
Huh.
Ovi scores 895.
That's awesome.
And I was like, ah, oh. And then it's like I'm watching it, and I pull over one of my season ticket holder buddies who's also there, and we're like watching the video on my phone. So, and then we're
I was
buying
able
them,
to catch that one live, luckily.
and then we're buying the merchandise as quickly as we could too, because a lot of that was selling out as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, NHL Shop, please do better. Get some more Ovi 900 stuff on NHL Shop because all I'm going to buy is that t-shirt. But But yeah, so it was an interesting play because you had talked about, like, we talked about Nedeljkovic's like flub against the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah.
We got to say the same thing about Jordan Binnington. Like, he just kind of haphazardly throws it along the wall. Ovi knocks it down, generates a play, and then he just gets the rebound off the boards and just does a backhand,
Throw pucks to the net, things happen.
which is the picture I had sent you and that you all are now seeing right now because I'm putting the picture up for everyone to see. It's an awesome picture that I took. Just happens to be where I sit, up in the 400s. And like, it was insane just seeing the team come out and then do the celebration. And then after the game, normally the team just goes up as a, like, not like a around the circle, but just into the circle to raise their sticks. They all lined up on the circle and had Ovi go in the middle to
That's
the stick
awesome.
tap Ovi, which I thought was really cool to see.
Yeah.
What obviously I could talk forever about Ovi because I've been seeing him
Yeah.
for like 21 years now. For you, being out west, what's it like for you seeing Ovi and doing the things that he's doing? And obviously, in about 12 minutes, do round 99 with Sidney Crosby and the Pittsburgh Penguins as a part of their rivalry in the regular season. Like, what has it been like for you to watch Alex Ovechkin?
Yeah, well, I mean, like I mentioned earlier, like my dad was a big Ranger fan growing up, so I watched a lot of Rangers Caps games, and like one of the fond memories I have is the 2015 series. My dad, it's arguably my most favorite series to watch because of my dad, just the 3-1 comeback. I know you don't enjoy that series, but just there was a goal he scored in that series. He was like diving and he beat Lundqvist under the blocker. I mean, it didn't matter how he got his shot off. It always had a chance to go in. I mean, I got to, quote unquote, meet him, talk to him in some pregame media availabilities for, last year and this year. And he's not always available, right? I mean, he's on his own schedule. I love it. He's his own PR guy. He'll get a question and go, "All right, thanks, guys." And he'll walk away. PR guys don't have to do anything. They get him available, then he'll say when he's done, which I think is hilarious. But he's just the Ovi spot is iconic. When I play NHL with my buddies, I'm on the left wing, and all I do is hit one timers. Just because I can always get myself in the good position to do that. So I'm always thinking about, oh, I'm in Ovi spot. When I play beer league, I'm gonna be in Ovi spot. Let me hit the one timers. I'm a righty. Can I hit it like Ovi? Not even
No.
close. Not even close. I played club college hockey. I'm an all right player, not that good. But just his shot was so elite. And my favorite thing about Ovi is the trajectory from being such a great player to becoming a leader of his team. Even that first couple of years captain, it was a little awkward, it seemed. But then you see him, especially
It
last
felt
couple of
it
years,
definitely
really
felt
just,
forced. The first
yeah,
couple of
just
years as captain felt forced. I will admit that.
last 7 to 10 years, it's just felt really like they've engulfed him, and really he just wants to win with the team, and he wants to help the team win. And he's balanced, I want to be successful to, I want to be successful because it'll help my team win. And that transition has been really cool to see from afar. Because I don't have the Sportsnets and the TSNs. There's not a ton of hockey coverage out here on the West Coast, but Ovechkin is a known name. I mean, when I talk to people who are casual fans, they know Crosby and they know Ovechkin. They're gonna know Celebrini if they don't already. A lot of people are starting to know him now. But just watching him go, and it's like, okay. And as I've grown up, I mean, he's 21 years old, I'm 27. Like, there has, in the time I have watched hockey, there has not been a time Alexander Ovechkin has not been in the league. The day that changes is going to be very strange for me. He is one of my favorite players to watch because he's so physical. I would watch, my friends would in college would put, would rent a dorm pre-gaming, whatever. And instead of putting on music, we'd put on the Alex Ovechkin hit compilation and goal hype mix. And that was our cue. Let's go. We're getting hyped for the evening. So Ovechkin has a pretty deep, just in watching him play, he's an iconic player. The goal that you just mentioned where he spins on his back and Gretzky applauds him. I mean, he's an iconic player. He's a top 10 player of all time. He is the greatest goal scorer of all time and of this generation. I don't think Matthews reaches it. I really don't. I want him to get to 1,000. I don't know if it's there.
I don't think it's gonna
But the
happen.
last time we counted him out and he had a start like this, he finished with 30 goals and had 25 of them after the All-Star break. So You never know.
I'll be honest, I don't see a thousand. If we didn't
I don't.
have if we didn't have the lockout, if we didn't have or the
Yeah,
lockouts,
there's
and we didn't
just
have
so
the COVID
much.
stuff, I think he I think honestly right now, if we didn't have the lockouts and we didn't have COVID,
2 years ago, maybe three, he would have beaten it.
I actually right well when he was going for 700, let me put it like this, when he was going for 700, that would have been the time we probably really would have been talking about 895.
Yeah.
And right now we would be, or he would already be surpassed 1,000 goals.
Yeah, he'd be up there
You
for
know,
sure.
he would already be past 1,000 if it wasn't for the two lockouts and the COVID shortened years.
Celebrini's coming.
yeah,
I don't know.
it's all we'll find out. But
19.
I mean, I've said this openly almost on every episode when when we talk about Ovechkin. I think this is the last year. I personally do. It's just a feeling I have in my gut.
Yeah.
What is your opinion? Do you think there
I
could
think
be a
it
one
could
more
be,
year?
but I think it really depends on how he finishes the season. If he doesn't finish the season strong, he may feel like, I want to give it one more go, give it one more shot, especially if the team goes in the playoffs. There's been some injuries. Obviously, PLD is out and things like that. And just there's some more young guys coming that I think they're waiting for more of. This goaltending is elite that you guys have. I wouldn't be surprised if it's one more year, given just depends on the team success and his success in the season. I think if they go deep in the playoffs, he'll call it. If they win the cup, I think he's calling it, no doubt. But I can see this year, but I can also see next year.
Yeah, I personally think we are going to find out one way or the other, either before or after, more likely after the Olympic break. We will
Yeah.
find I think we will find out something around that time.
He could go the Clayton Kershaw route. You know, you guys have clinched playoffs and, you know, you've got one or two home games left. And he says, you know what? This is it. This is my last game of the year. Because he didn't want the fanfare going around. He doesn't need the gifts and all that.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't need that. He's not that type of player.
But the thing is that the league is going to force it.
Right. But
The league is going to force it.
if he waits to say anything or announce anything, and the Caps do a good job of saying, you know, we're not sure. And then let's say there's two home games left in the year. Give him his fanfare for those two home games. That's what you should do. That's what Clayton Kershaw did.
I
Is
think what
nobody
will
knew he was
happen.
retiring, and then he picked the same day Anze Kopitar did.
Yeah, I well, I think here's the thing. The Capitals end the season with three games in April. It is a Saturday, Sunday back to back, first in Pittsburgh, then in Washington, and then the last game is on the road in Columbus. I think those two games in Pittsburgh will be against Pittsburgh, the one in Pittsburgh on the Saturday, at home against Pittsburgh on the Sunday. Those will be
Right.
his two, I think those will be his two last regular season games played.
And so if they so with that, you
And I
don't
think
say anything until those games, that's what I mean, is he doesn't want the fanfare. They may come out right before those games.
I think if he has already decided, I think the league is going to tell him you need to announce it earlier because they want to give him the Gretzky treatment for the last home game of the regular season. Because the league did it for Gretzky, the league will most likely do it for Sidney Crosby as well, and they're going to do it for Ovechkin. And I think the league will be very disappointed if they do not have that opportunity to do that at Ovi's last home game, that we know for a fact will be his last home game in the regular season.
And how long does that take to plan, though? They may just say, I don't want to talk about that. And they may just be in the works already and they know and they're planning it. They just don't want it going public. Because I'm sure as hell Clayton Kershaw, and I know I keep going back to that example, Clayton Kershaw, who is arguably the greatest baseball starting pitcher of my generation, 20 years, right? Some of the best numbers, played the entire year. Like, okay, what's going to happen? Maybe he'll retire. I'm not sure. They had one home series left and he had to start the next day and he announced his retirement that year. At the end of the season,
Yeah.
I'm sure they knew full well, but nobody said anything. You look at Sam Rosen and Joe Micheletti. We knew Sam Rosen was retiring. Nobody knew Joe Micheletti was. He just didn't want the fanfare. The league could be setting that up, and Ovi may not want that as a distraction mid-season. Could it come out at the end after the Olympic break? Sure, but I feel like it might be more of a short notice where the league is already privy to it and have something planned already.
Yeah, and I should note that as a season ticket holder, the Capitals gave us all physical tickets for this season. That to us is an indication that this is a collector's item because it is probably Ovechkin's last year.
Isn't it also, isn't it like the, is there a year anniversary this year for you guys or?
Last year was the 50th anniversary.
All right.
That was the year they should have done physical tickets because, oh my God, all the nostalgia stuff they could have done with the tickets. But the fact that this is Ovi's last year, or potentially last year, and they're giving us these physical tickets as commemorative items for the season, that is kind of a, I think it could be signal virtue or
Definitely could
virtue
be.
signaling that, this is the last year for Ovi.
But see, there's these hints, right? But nothing's been announced. He may not want the big announcement because then every home game is the last chance to see Ovi. And I, knowing how he's, I just don't think that's something he's going to want. Will he accept
He already had
the
the deal with,
opportunity? For,
he already had the deal
right.
with the circus with 895, and
Well,
he
I
knew
think
how exhausting
it's
it
a
was
big
on the
send off.
team.
I just don't think there's going to be a big year-long send off. I think it'll be known and it'll be announced eventually if it is this year, and they'll set something up at the end of the year. I just don't think he wants to go the entire season because he thinks the Caps can still win a cup and they are cup contenders. So I don't think he wants to be pulling away from the rest of his team in that, and that's the leadership growth.
Yeah. And but I will admit, I'm glad that Kopitar announced before the season, although it was kind of hinted at because he's in the last year of his contract as well. I'm looking forward to November 17th when the Kings come to DC because that will be the last time, barring a Stanley Cup final matchup, that Anze Kopitar will be playing in Washington, DC. So
Kings got
that's
to
it.
talk to the Oilers, so.
Yep. So that's, yeah, 4 years in a row, still can't do it. I kind of like those moments where you can give a player a proper send off when you know it's the end of the road for them.
Yeah, for
So
sure.
I'm looking forward to November 17th with Anze Kopitar because I think that'll be cool. So with that, Max, this has been a great and fun conversation. Where can everyone find you on social media? And your work, obviously, too.
Social media, you can find me at real underscore max underscore Miller. That's, TikTok, Instagram, my Twitter handle is that. Blue Sky, same thing. Where you'll find the majority of my work is sharkshockeydigest.com. It's my own little baby, it's my creation. And then I'll be doing some work for NHL.com. All the home game recaps will be me. There'll be some features up there. You'll see my name quoted in some other stories when I provide quotes for some people. But yeah, sharkshockeydigest.com. That's the main place you'll find me there. Check it out. Hopefully you like it. And that's where you'll find the majority of my coverage.
Awesome. And then, of course, obviously for me, you can find me at the Lindenbaum 75. That's on all social media, including Twitch. And then for the show, it is at TXHT underscore hockey on most social media, or just TXHT hockey on Facebook. And of course, TXHTHockey.com, which, just like with you, with Sharks Hockey Digest, that's your baby. TXHT is
Yeah,
my baby.
for sure.
But I don't have the NHL connections like you do. So, but. But there's a reason I have season tickets and not in the press box. But Max, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. And as always, until next time, we will see you on the ice.